着歪。Can we pray again before we start? Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us together today. Father, thank you for who you are to us and for us and what you've done for us. Father, we pray that this morning we might hear your voice and be changed deeply in our souls by the message that you have for us today, that we might see you more clearly and love you more passionately and experience you more personally because of what we hear from you today. Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. Over the last couple of weeks, we've been looking at some of the heroes of the faith, from working loosely from Hebrews 11, the the halls of faith. We've talked about Noah and Moses and Abraham, and it's Hebrews 11 says that these people were commended for their faith. As we've seen, though, several of the people were more than a little bit flawed and broken before they started. But there were people just like you and me who made shockingly bad decisions in a few cases and yet still find themselves loved and used by God. Today is King David. Now, I think I could easily preach 5 or 6 messages about King David's faults and failures, as many of you know. Many of us will remember King David by the Sunday school version or some other pop culture reference. See, I like that. See, Bart's got a crown on, so it's kind of messed up. But we get distracted by some of these things and we end up with a bit of a narrow view, a child-friendly sort of sanitized view of some of these stories. It's easy to read them and forget that they were actually about real people in a real country, in the real world. So, and we forget they had real lives and real friends and real emotions and stress and struggles, just like you and me. So to help and to brag just a little bit, in 2012, I got to stand in the Elah Valley, which is 39 kilometres or so west-southwest of Jerusalem, where the Bible records that King David, not king yet, David killed Goliath. So, that's the valley. Not very exciting. King Saul's was probably encamped somewhere up on the top of this rise up there. There's a little river, little creek that runs across here. But it was very hot and dry when I was there. That's the sort of riverbed where David probably picked up the smooth stones from. It's actually a hay field now if you have a better look there. So it's just a real place in the world. It's actually private property. We couldn't walk too far up there without somebody getting grumpy with us. And I got to pick up some rocks, which get played with a little bit. Now, what do we know about King David? Can I get audience participation? What do we know about King David? First of all, strengths and successes of King David. Yell them out. What did he do well? He had faith. He did. He played the harp. Yeah, and wrote songs and psalms and stuff. What else do we know? He was a man after God's own heart. That's a great one. That was the bottom of my list because that was the most important one. What else do we know? Faithful friend. He did kill Goliath. That's kind of important to the big story. He was a great leader. Well, that's weaknesses and faults. Give us a second. There's the list of faults is just as long as the strengths. But he was a great leader. He was anointed and chosen by God. He was honourable. He didn't kill Saul when he had the chance. He was repentant. He loved God passionately and wasn't worried about what others thought about how he worshipped God and was a man after God's own heart. Weaknesses and faults. He was a murderer, absolutely. He was an adulterer. He was a polygamist. He disobeyed God. He was lazy. 2 Samuel 11 says when men went out to war, David stayed home. He had bloodlust. He got so upset with the family, he wanted to destroy the whole family. He was an absent father. He didn't discipline his children. But this morning, I want to consider something else. So let's read a couple of Psalms. He didn't write all the Psalms, but he did write several of them. So the direction I want to go this morning, we'll see what we can find in here. Psalm 13. How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Psalm 38. My guilt has overwhelmed me like a burden too heavy to bear. My wounds fester and are loathsome because of my sinful folly. I am bowed down and brought very low. All day long I go about mourning. My back is filled with searing pain. There's no health in my body. I'm feeble and utterly crushed. I groan in anguish of heart. All my longings lie open before you, Lord. My sighings is not hidden from you. My heart pounds. My strength fails me. Even the light has gone from my eyes. Psalm 88. I'm overwhelmed with troubles and my life draws near to death. I'm counted among those who go down into the pit. I'm like one without strength. I'm set apart with the dead, like the slain who lie in the grave, whom you remember no more, who are cut off from your care. Psalm 116. The cords of death entangle me. The anguish of the grave come over me. I was overwhelmed by distress and sorrow. And if you haven't picked it up yet, this should help. Psalm 69. Save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my neck. I sink in the miry depths where there is no foothold. I have come into the deep waters and floods engulf me. Can anyone guess how David might have been feeling and what he was struggling with through that? Depression. Despair. The Bible doesn't use the word depression. It uses despair. But a quick psychological analysis of Bible characters suggests that Abraham, Elijah, Hannah, the mother of Saul, Samuel, King Saul, Jeremiah, Job, and David may well have battled with depression or other mental illnesses. The point here is basically that several godly Bible characters, including David, were affected by depression, anxiety, and other mental health issues. And that's okay. And it's okay for us to not be okay too. It's not necessarily a character flaw or sin that brings on depression, although these can be factors. The Black Dog Institute suggests that depression and anxiety is often caused by life circumstances, fear or failure, both perceived or true, change, guilt, loss, rejection, traumatic events, loss of control, frustration, work sense, stress, financial pressure, and other people's opinions or criticism. Can also be exasperated by things like drugs and alcohol, but it's also often a biological issue involved: genetics, illness, personality type, age, hormone and chemical imbalances. None of these things on their own cause depression or anxiety to dig deep into us, but all stacked up together, they wear and chafe and rub until eventually the darkness starts to creep in. Then the frustration at knowing that you've got really nothing to be upset or sad about makes the darkness more as well. So some quick statistics. Beyond Blue says there's some pretty scary statistics up there. One in five women and one in eight men will likely have depression. One in three women and one in five men will likely have some sort of anxiety. And six Australians die by suicide every day. Five of them are men. So this is a fairly significant issue that doesn't get talked about very much. And more on there, talking to Kathy Payne this week, she gave me these simple statistics. About one in any given year, one in four Australians will experience some sort of mental health problems. And over a lifetime, it will affect 45% of all Australian adults, but less than half will seek the help that we need. So let's take stock. Look around at the people around you. If it's not you, chances are the person sitting beside you will experience depression, anxiety, or some other mental health problems of some sort in their lifestyle, their lifetime. Here in the room, there's about 100 people. So 25 of us have struggled in the last 12 months, and only about half have asked for any help. This quote, I thought, made a lot of sense. It goes against the grain to give an image of oneself, especially as Christians, that is anything less than perfect. But many Christians imagine that they will be rejected by others if they admit to any faults. But nothing could be more destructive to Christian koinonia, that's the fellowship, than the common practice today of pretending to not have any problems. So, we all struggle sometimes. That doesn't mean we all have mental illness. But too often, out of fear and embarrassment, or especially as men, we are worried that it will be seen as a sign of weakness or of a weak faith to admit these things. Christians are meant to be strong and happy, right? Full of hope and life and joy. Rejoice always. Joy, unspeakable joy. The joy of the Lord is my strength. But there is a stigma. People do treat you different. They tiptoe around you, try to give you some space, which is probably what we need. But they make a big deal out of it and get all wary and sensitive and weird. So in this world that values and promotes independence, we end up trying to do it on our own. So now, knowing that several of the heroes of the faith struggled with their mental health and well-being, including King David, a man after God's own heart, a tough question. Who here is willing to admit that they have struggled with their mental health and well-being? Top of the list is me. Yes, one of your pastors that's meant to have it all together is a fruitcake. I'm currently on medication for depression and have battled with it for about 15 years. It's seasonal, it comes and goes, good sometimes, not others. Anyone else? There's a couple of hands there. Yep. Thank you for your honesty. If you want to talk more about that or have a chat, or you are too scared to put your hand up, I'd really like to hear more of your stories sometimes. You don't have to do this alone. So what do we do about it? First things first, God can and does heal people with mental health problems. So the first thing to do is pray. Find someone to pray with you, to share the story with, who will pray with you. But sometimes God chooses to not take us out of our situation, but instead, sometimes it's within his purpose to grow us through the difficulties of the situation instead. Secondly, there's value in us learning to understand and respond better. Too easily and too often we expect people or ourselves to just suck it up and get over it. Or we over-spiritualize it to something like, just pray harder and God will heal you. Or you just need to have more faith. Or repent of your sin and God will take it away. Or on the other end of the scale, just take a pill, you'll be fine. Tim Keller says, godly wisdom refuses to reduce depression, for example, to any one cause. It does not have a simple chemical or simple moral or simply a spiritual cause. All the dimensions of our nature are involved, heart, soul, mind, and strength. It is foolish to reduce the solution to just take a pill or just repent. We need to look at the illness holistically. In my experience, in those low moments, I don't need to be told not to worry about it so much. I don't need to be told to have more faith. I don't need to be told to snap out of it. I don't need to be singled out and treated differently. What I need to be is reminded that Jesus is near because he cares for those and is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in the spirit. It's Psalm 34. I need to be reminded not to condemn myself for being weak. I need to be reminded that my light and momentary afflictions are producing an eternal weight of glory and that God doesn't waste anything. I need to be reminded to press into Jesus. And I need to be connected with someone who can help me deal with the physical aspects of the illness. I need to see my GP today. It's really important to speak to a doctor to make sure that there's nothing else going on that might be contributing to this. They could give lots of other advice about exercise and food and that sort of thing, and possibly medication. So, press into Jesus. So how do we do that? Well, what does the Bible say that King David did? Earlier, we read the beginning of Psalm 13. Let's read it again, but all of it this time. For how long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts? and day after day have sorrow in my heart. How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death. And my enemy will say, I have overcome him. And my foes will rejoice when I fall. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. And also the end of Psalm 69 says from verse 30, I will praise God's name in song and glorify him with thanksgiving. This will please the Lord more than an ox, more than a bull with its horns and hooves. The poor will see and be glad, and you will seek God. May your hearts live. The Lord hears the needy and does not despise his captive people. When things got hard, David praised God in song and remembered God's goodness and was thankful for it. David made a concerted effort to direct his mind to higher things. It's what Paul said in Philippians 4. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent and praiseworthy, think about such things. You can't defeat depression and anxiety by simply saying, go away, you'll get over it. Or even finding some greater determination to overcome it. You can't defeat depression at all, not for yourself or for your friends. The truth that Jesus is bigger than my depression, bigger than my anxiety, and bigger than my fear, bigger than any giant that I might face. Jesus alone is that voice of truth that says, you are not condemned. I love you anyway. Jesus says, I am bigger and stronger. I have a purpose. I waste nothing, and I will overcome. And saying that out loud and often and hearing it often helps. To help to drown out those other voices in our head. Like Roy's sign out there says that this week, to drown out the negative and condemning voices of the world. Paul and Solomon both said that there is power in the spoken word. Romans 10 and Proverbs 18. As you do this, as you speak and hear the voice of truth, even though the cause for your distress may not be removed, you will be actively relegating that distress to its proper place, into the hands of Jesus at the foot of the cross. Two practical things that I try to do. There's a lot that you can do. Talking to a counselor or somebody is a great thing to do. For me, a couple of things I do. The first is simple. The Bible app on your phone and on the computer allows you to play the Bible out loud. Have the computer read you the Psalms. I read the Bible out loud to myself sometimes. Read it to those around you. It might mess some people up. The second is just as easy. I love music. Music speaks to my soul. I've got a playlist that I listen to that lifts my spirit and lifts my eyes to the hills. Songs like Good, Good Father and Lord, I Need You. The Joy of the Lord is My Strength that we sang before. Blessed Be Your Name and 10,000 Reasons. Find some songs or something like that that speak words of truth when you notice yourself starting to slip and play them. It's the value and victory, actually, of gathering together for praise and worship. Even if you can't sing, hear other people sing to you and for you about God's goodness. I'm going to play one of my favorite songs right now. One of the favorites for me to listen to when I'm struggling. If this is for you today, let this soak into your spirit. Hear the voice of truth and hear Jesus speaking to your soul. If this is not for you yourself this morning, that's okay. But listen for yourself and remember the power of the spoken word and what a word of encouragement does to the soul. So we're going to play this song, then I'll come back and we'll talk some more. Thank you.
climb out of this boat and then onto the crashing waves, to step out of my comfort zone to the realm of the unknown, where Jesus is and he's holding out his hand. But the waves are calling out my name and they laugh at me, reminding me of all the times I tried before and failed. The way they keep on telling me time and time again, boy, you never win. You never win. But the voice of truth tells me a different story. The voice of truth says do not be afraid. And the voice of truth for a giant with just a singing storm, surrounded by the sound of a thousand warriors shaking in their armor, wishing they'd have had the strength to stand. But the giant's calling out my name and he laughs at me, reminding me of all the times I tried before and failed. Giant keeps on telling me time and time again, boy, you'll never win. You'll never win. But the voice of truth tells me a different story. The voice of truth says do not be afraid. And the voice of truth says this is for my glory.
So many people out there struggling with these things, and they don't have the hope that we have in Jesus. They need to hear the hope. They don't know that there even is an answer. And people may be attracted to your strengths, but they connect with you in your weakness. In the midst of trouble, in the midst of threatening defeat, the voice of truth is the one we need to listen to. Satan wants us to fail. Satan is out to steal, kill, and destroy. It is his voice that tries to bring us down. He is a liar, a deceiver, and a fraud. But there's never once been, never once, has Satan turned around and found himself not in God's plan. He can never outdo or out-scheme God. And we need to remember that we are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ, who loved us and died for us. And he will not waste the seasons of suffering. He will use it in some way to bring good, to help those, and to make us stronger. So to wrap up, in the same way that we don't need to have it all together to be saved by God, we don't have to have it all together to be used by God as part of his purpose. We just need to listen and trust the voice of truth. Let him work out his plans through us. God said of David, "I have found a man after my own heart who will do all my will." God used David, a lazy, murdering, adulterer, terrible father who battled with depression. God chose him and used him powerfully to defeat great enemies and unite Israel. He can do the same with you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us to hear your voice through the noise and the darkness. Help us to hear your voice over the negativity and the darkness that the world throws at us. Help us to break free of the liar and deceiver and the fraud that is Satan, who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. We pray boldly that in your wisdom and strength that you would heal those of us who struggle with mental health and well-being issues, depression and anxiety. But for those who you choose to grow through the difficulty, would you give them reprieve sometimes and the strength and wisdom to seek you first, as well as the other help they need to overcome and to bring glory to you. Heavenly Father, you are all we need. You are the voice. You are the one. You are our strength and our shield. The voice of truth says to us today, may my grace be sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in your weakness. Therefore, we will boast all the more gladly about our weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on us. That is why, for Christ's sake, we delight in weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, and in difficulties. For when we are weak, then he is made strong. In the name of Jesus, amen. The band, want to come back up? If you'd like to talk more about any of these things, I'd love to catch up with you and hear more of your story. If you'd like to touch the stones even, come and find me. Make sure that you remember you don't have to do this alone. Thanks, guys.